Economic talks in China take a backseat to diplomatic drama.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We'll start in China, where U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and U.S. Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner are this morning. They're supposed to be talking about issues like trade, but instead, everyone's focused on a blind Chinese dissident named Chen Guangcheng, who took refuge at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing and is now asking for asylum in the United States. Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz joins us now from Shanghai with more on this. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy.
So how is this going to affect these high-level talks between the U.S. and China that are going on today?
Well, it's certainly managed to steal much of the media's attention. You know, this year, like previous ones, the focus of these talks from the U.S. side, at least, is on things like China's currency and securing intellectual property rights for U.S. companies in China. But now we've got this very interesting and fast-moving drama that's forcing both sides to really take a stand that neither of them really want to take. I spoke with James McGregor today. He's a senior counselor at APCO Worldwide, and he's been briefing U.S. officials in preparation for this week's summit. He told me he thought the Chen episode threatens to overshadow the talks this week in Beijing.
You have to remember, these talks are a lot of theatrics because you've got 200 officials on each side kind of giving set-piece speeches and, scratching around for a deliverable or two so they can put out a press release at the end.
But, Jeremy, I don't think anybody's expecting a press release at the end of this week about human rights or Chen Guangcheng.
And, Rob, of course, this situation comes right after the Bo Xilai case about this Chinese official who had sort of fallen out of favor with the top leadership in Beijing. Then his wife gets accused of murdering a British businessman. It seems like a lot of uncomfortable stuff going on for the top leadership in China.
That's right. And at a year when the leadership in Beijing is changing over to a completely new leadership, I think we're all waiting to see how this year could possibly get even crazier.
Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz joining us from Shanghai. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, to Japan now and the millions of tons of debris floating across the Pacific after last year's tsunami. Some of it has started to arrive on the U.S. West Coast. And as Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports, somebody's going to have to pay to clean it up.
It's hard to say exactly how much debris, from soccer balls to fishing boats, will land on U.S. beaches. And because of that, it's hard to put a price tag on the cleanup. But U.S. Senator Mark Begich from Alaska guesses it's not going to be cheap.
It will easily be in the millions to clean this up.
And it's not really clear who is going to pay.
It's going to be a combination of federal government, state governments, local governments to some extent, nonprofit groups, and private sector, because it's not going to be able to be done by one single entity.
NOAA spokesperson Diana Parker says a big part of the cleanup responsibility will fall to do-gooders.
For smaller debris like consumer plastics or styrofoam, we're going to rely pretty heavily on existing volunteer groups that have already formed to deal with marine debris.
Senator Begich says there's no way volunteer help will be enough. He's holding a Senate hearing on tsunami debris in the next couple of weeks. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down slightly in Hong Kong, up 0.4% right now in London. Carmaker BMW reported its best ever first quarter and announced that China, not the U.S., is now its number one market. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 10 points to close at 13,268.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
This election year, you're going to hear a lot about government regulations, whether they're too tough or not tough enough. Well, at the state level, just the argument over regulation is causing trouble, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Bob Burnley worked for more than 30 years as a state regulator in Virginia. At one point, he headed Virginia's Department of Environmental Quality. He noticed toward the end of his career,
well, the number of reports that we had to do increased all of the time.
Burnley had to do lots of cost-benefit analyses, and then the Virginia legislature established a panel to review regulations.
And those members of the state legislature had the authority to call before them anybody that was making a new rule and make them justify it.
Virginia is not unique. New Jersey regulators now have to file jobs impact statements, quantifying the number of jobs that would be lost or gained because of a proposed rule. The Tennessee legislature formed a task force to root out regulations that it thinks impede job growth. And in Florida, new rules deemed to cost businesses more than $200,000 a year must go back to the legislature for approval. Stuart Shapiro teaches politics and regulation at Rutgers. He says almost every state is doing some kind of regulatory reform, a trend that snowballed over the past 10 years.
In 2010, 136 bills were introduced in state legislatures that required cost-benefit analysis of something. And that's a tremendous number. I mean, there are only 50 states.
Shapiro says you do need some analysis of new rules, but he says the process has become too politicized, with legislators putting up roadblocks to regulation to win support from voters or business owners who don't like government oversight. Jason Schwartz is legal director at NYU's Institute for Policy Integrity.
Unfortunately, the trend across the country is towards adding more levels of regulatory review that aren't particularly helpful.
Especially when, according to Schwartz, states regulate almost 20% of the U.S. economy. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, life can get pretty stressful, even for a toddler. And so an organization in Germany has launched the first ever resort for stressed-out kids under the age of five. According to the Daily Mail newspaper, the resort offers massages, foot baths, and walks through wet grass without shoes and socks. No details yet on how they get the three-year-olds to sit still for massages, though. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.